Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. I am your host, Andrew Rich, joined today by a first-time guest here on the show. I know him from the VOW Discord. It's Roomba. Hello, Roomba.
Hey, Andrew. Thanks for having me. It's awesome to be here. Big fan of the show. Following up Mora, so I feel like I got some big shoes to fill here, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's nice to have you on here. Nice to have another member of the Boston Brigade.
That's right.
On the show. I know we're both still hurting over the Celtics and Jason Tatum and the current plate of the Red Sox, of course. But we're in this together there, Roomba. We share the pain. So.
Yeah. We deserve a little bit of pain, I think. It's all part of the process of being a sports fan.
For sure. I ask this to people when I have them on from the Discord. Why did you go with the username Roomba? I know what a Roomba is, obviously, and the Roomba is your profile pic in the Discord there, but what's the story behind that, if there is one at all?
I was just switching up my Twitter username to pick a more wrestling-centric name. There was an Art of Wrestling episode where Cabana had mentioned something about a Roomba. So I just picked Roomba. And over for a while, it was Colt's Roomba. Then it was Biff Busick's Roomba. Then it was Sidney Bacabella's Roomba. And then I just went with straight Roomba. I felt like that was a easier name to work with.
Mm-hmm. You know, I could make the super obvious pun that you're going to clean up this episode, but it's too easy. It's too easy. Yeah. But I also know you because you were in charge of the Discord's Music League. That was a lot of fun. And, typically most leagues go for, five rounds, 10 rounds maybe. But we kept that thing going for 100 rounds, pretty much 2 years. And the only reason it stopped is because Music League was like, enough, no more, you can't do any more. So I do miss the league, because it was a good way to discover music, of course. But
yeah, that was really my selfish primary motivation. I really love chatting with all the guys and everybody that's inside the music room. And so I had done it in a basketball Discord that I was in, and so I decided to bring it over. And yeah, I was just trying to farm out great songs, and I filled out so many good playlists that way. And it will be back. I just busy right now, and I need to come up with some new categories, but it'll be back in the future.
Yeah, I don't miss having to remind you to keep adding rounds every now and again, Roomba. I'll be honest about that, but but anyway, today's episode is one that I'm very excited about, mostly because I came up with another good pun here. Because, as we all know, Shawn Michaels' entrance theme is Sexy Boy. I'm just a sexy boy, sexy boy. We all know the song. Well, this episode is called Just a Saxy Boy, because we are playing songs that have saxophone parts in them. Now, I could have also gone with Saxwell Jacob Friedman or sexual chocolate Mark Henry or some other pun. But I went with Sexy Boy because it was the first one that came to mind, to be honest with you. But regardless, I'm looking forward to this one a lot because I love a good saxophone part in a song, whether as an accoutrement or a full-on sax solo in there. It's an instrument that can really add some nice flavoring to a song, I think, especially in rock, you know, because typically a rock song, it's got guitar, it's got bass, drums, vocals, maybe some keyboards in there. But you put a saxophone in there and it's going to give your song some extra pizzazz and in some cases can be the highlight of the song, Roomba.
Yeah. You know, through doing this, I was actually stopping to think about saxophone a lot. And it's just a really cool secondary instrument that has a lot of different voices. And so you can do a lot of different things with it. It can be part of a bigger brass section that adds a lot of sound, but it can be really smooth. It can be crazy and like sort of have a real manic sound. So, you know, like you were saying, it's similar, I've thought as I was doing this, to like guitar and piano, and that it can really do a lot. And something else I realized was, man, if you played the saxophone in the 80s, you were set. You were set. You could take that. If you had one big song, you could tour with bigger acts for the rest of the decade and into the 90s. So if I ever came back, think I'd come back, and I didn't want the fame, but I wanted to be a musician, I think I'd come back as a 1980s saxophone player.
I was going to say, you know, as you mentioned there, the saxophone, a very versatile instrument for sure. You can have the big full-on energetic sax going crazy and blowing up a storm, or you can slow it down and have it be nice and smooth and easy. It can be sorrowful, it can be romantic, it can be happy. It can access a lot of different moods, for sure. And it's kind of like a really versatile wrestler in that sense, who can wrestle in different styles, different types of matches, face, heel, things like that. So I guess if I had to come up with a metaphor of sorts, you know, Bryan Danielson is the saxophone of pro wrestling.
I like
and
it.
The saxophone is the Bryan Danielson of music. So, you know, we'll go with that off the top of my head there. So
I like it.
Yeah, yeah. But all right, let's get to the music here. We have 10 songs each and a playout song at the end as well there. Roomba, you're the guest. You'll go first. What's your first pick?
All right. My first pick is So What by Miles Davis. It features John Coltrane and Cannonball Adderley. Coltrane's on the tenor. Cannonball's on the alto. And this was recorded in 1959 for Kinda Blue. So I picked this song, well, mostly because I feel like for the rest of the tracks that we picked, this is sort of the jumping off point, this bop jazz period. I think it inspired so many people to go on and play jazz, and it made it really accessible and made it really cool. Not that the saxophone wasn't a big instrument before that, because a big band and all that. But I think, you know, how we were talking about how versatile the instrument is, I think this is really where they started to get to explore it. And I thought it was important to pick a jazz song, and who better than Coltrane and Cannonball. I'm certainly not a jazz expert. I can't play, but I know Coltrane, and I think most people do. And just this group was incredible. And the album is still the top-selling jazz album of all time. Bill Evans is on it. I can't think of the drummer's name, but this track is really cool in that it starts with Miles playing on the trumpet, and the name of the song is So What, and that's what the trumpet sings. You can hear
so
it.
So What. Yep.
Yeah. and then you from the part that you played, what's awesome is that there's two, you can hear the two different voices that the saxophone can have. I actually prefer this Cannonball's part, which is the second one. But yeah, it's such a cool, smooth song. And the guys are just really at the peak of their powers here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it stands to reason that we would have some jazz on this episode. And it's funny, you know, sometimes I get a little self-conscious about my picks. Like, oh, it's too obvious, it's too mainstream. But that's typically about, like, rock or pop. Mm. You did the jazz version of that because you
yes.
picked what is the most celebrated and influential jazz album of all time, with not just Miles Davis on it, but John Coltrane and Cannonball Adderley and Bill Evans, like just massive jazz guys in their own right. So I'm glad I'm not the only one making the obvious picks here, Roomba, for sure. So
safe. I'm keeping it safe.
Yeah. You know, I can't say I listen to Miles Davis or modal jazz in my spare time, though obviously I know the importance of it to music, of course. But I was looking it up, and apparently, you know, everybody looks back on this album with reverence, except for Miles Davis.
Right.
He was like, yeah, I liked doing it back then, but I don't really care for it now. Which is funny because, you know, everyone now is like, oh, what a masterpiece. And, you know, the artist himself is like, eh, whatever. So.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So my first pick here, you mentioned the 80s. There, Roomba, and a good chunk of my picks are from the 80s and late 70s, that region. My first one here is from 1983. This is Billy Idol off of his second album, Rebel Yell, and this song is called Catch My Fall.
I have the time, so I will sing. But I will win, yeah. Lost song of lovers, fellow travelers, yeah. Leave me sad and hollow, out anywhere. It could happen to you, so think for yourself. If I should stumble,
the saxophone there done by a guy named Mars Williams, and that's a really good song off a really great album. I remember a few months ago I listened to Rebel Yell in full for the first time, and I knew a bunch of songs on the album already. The title track, of course, Eyes Without a Face, Flesh for Fantasy, Blue Highway, but it was the first time I heard this one, and I really dug it, and I was a little taken aback by the sax being in there. But I guess I probably shouldn't have, because, you know, there's always been that duality to Billy Idol. You know, he's the sneering, leather jacket, six-pack abs punk rocker who is more than happy to embrace pop music and embrace the lighter side and have a saxophone in there. And we see that with a bunch of his other songs as well there, Roomba.
Yeah, it's like, it adds some extra energy to the song when it came in. You know, it's funny because when you send me over your songs and I was listening to them, some of them for the first time or the first time in a long time. And it was, yeah, it's like a really slow, nice, sweet song. And then the saxophone just kind of gives that extra energy to it that makes it, you know, takes it up, makes it a really great song, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's good timing actually on my part because Billy Idol just put out a new album a few weeks ago.
Really?
Called Dream Into It. And I've listened to it and it's really good. You know, he's not reinventing the wheel by any means. It sounds like Billy Idol. But, you know, typical Billy Idol is still pretty good. So, yeah, there you go, Roomba. So,
all right.
What's your next pick there?
Yep, my second pick is James Brown, Licking Stick, Licking Stick from 1968. The players on this track are Pee Wee Ellis on alto, Maceo Parker, who will be on my list again, on tenor, and St. Clair Pickney on baritone.
Mama caught me quick and gave me that licking stick. Sister, get out there with your bad self. One more time. Mama, come here quick and bring that licking stick. Missy, oh, all right, bring your licking stick. Licking stick. Licking stick. Licking stick. Lord Almighty, licking stick. Oh, licking stick. Licking stick. Licking stick. Bobby, I like it when it's now. Yeah. Want to try it one more time?
One more time.
One more time.
One more time.
Yeah, so I picked this one again for obvious reasons. James Brown is the best. In 1968 alone, I think he released six albums, and he did that for most of the 60s. My favorite part of the song is right at the beginning. It's starting to get a little repetitive. He's doing his vamping or spieling or whatever you want to call it, and he just goes horns, and then bam. In come the three saxophones. They blast in, and the song all of a sudden keeps moving on. The three players are incredible. Maceo, his resume includes James Brown, Parliament, and Prince. I don't think you can
not
have
too shabby.
No.
Not too shabby.
No. Pee-wee, he played with Brown for years, and he was actually a touring saxophonist with Van Morrison, and yeah, toured with him for decades. And then Sinclair Pickney, I couldn't find too much, but he was a professional musician forever. It's just can't have a list without some good funk on it, and James Brown is about as good as it gets. I couldn't figure out what a licking stick was. I was on the funk boards, the funk message boards, and nobody could quite establish what it was, but they pretty much just chalked it up to James Brown saying cool stuff that sounds cool. And they weren't wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, according to Wikipedia, I guess this makes sense because of the lyrics. It's about a guy wanting his mama, to whip his sister with a stick, the licking stick, give her a licking because she's dancing a little too risque for his liking. So
nice.
There you go. It's funny because I was, you know, it's James Brown. He's got a song called Licking Stick. I was expecting some, you know, raunchiness perhaps,
yeah.
But turns out it was something a little bit different. The thing is, too, about James Brown, his songs would be a lot shorter if he just stopped saying one more time, one more time, one more time. Like, just, you know, it extends the song another like 3 minutes or whatever. So, you know. But that's James Brown for you. So
yeah, he was keeping the people dancing, I guess, and keep them coming back.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe this is one of, or maybe the only song on our lists with three saxophone players on it at the same time.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because most of our picks are either one or two, but this says three. So it's a saxapalooza going on here for sure.
Yep. Roomba. Yep, full section.
All right, so my next pick here. This is a band that I just played in the previous episode, and here they are again. This is M83, and this is off of their 2011 album, Hurry Up, We're Dreaming. And the song is the big single off this album, Midnight City. So I've been playing a lot of GTA 5 lately, and that song is on the soundtrack. So I've been hearing it a lot these past few weeks, but it's a great song. And an example of the saxophone only being used in one section for the solo right at the end there. So it becomes like this just really great punctuation mark on the whole thing. And like you said about, you know, with Billy Idol, just a nice extra jolt of energy right at the end there, which is pretty cool. The guy doing the solo is James King from Fits in the Tantrums. And Anthony Gonzalez of M83 said about the solo, quote, "Sometimes a song needs an element to be finished. You know that this element has been overused in the past and is considered cliched or cheesy, but the song needs it." And he's right. You know, it is the sultry, sweaty sax solo a bit cheesy or cliched, sure, but does it still work tremendously? Absolutely, Roomba, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, the title of the song is Midnight City, and if you could imagine a guy standing on the edge of a building in a city at nighttime, blasting that thing out over, and yeah, I think it works perfect, especially when it ties in with whoever picked that for the GTA game did a good job, because it fits perfectly.
For sure.
Yeah, it was funny. I was listening to the song today in the kitchen, just, and my wife was like, "Oh my God, I haven't heard this song in so long. I love this song." I hadn't heard it before. This is my first time hearing it. I don't know what I was doing. I wasn't listening to the radio, I guess. But yeah, it was awesome. Really liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good. And I have to bring up a great YouTube video for this song. It's Bill Clinton on the Arsenio Hall show during his presidential campaign from 92. And that was a very famous and important appearance for him because he played the saxophone on the show and it helped him become more popular with younger voters, minority voters. Well, originally he played Heartbreak Hotel, but someone on YouTube decided to overdub it with the sax solo for Midnight City. So you can just see like Bill Clinton just wailing away, you know, and there's shots of the crowd going nuts and Arsenio's clapping along. It's very funny, but it also just, it works so well as a clip too, Roomba. So
that's great. Yeah. And Bill Clinton famously playing saxophone on the Animaniacs too, in the intro.
All right, man. What's your next pick?
My third pick. You know, one of us had to do it. We both did it. But you're gracious enough to let me intro it. It's Jerry Rafferty. The song's Baker Street from 1978. and the sax player is Raphael Ravenscroft.
He used to think that it was so easy. He used to say that it was so easy. But you're trying now. Another year and then you'd be happy. Just one more year and then you'd be happy. But you're crying now.
Yeah, like I said, had to pick it. I was asking people to for a little bit of help or for some ideas as I was doing this. Couple names came up. This is the only one that came up as a song. And most people didn't know the name of the song, but they would sing the part to me. And I found I didn't want to include it. It was actually the last one that I ended up having on the list. The song is good, but the sax part is so good. They build it up with that snare drum or whatever it is, and you know it's coming, and it takes that down tempo kind of like hush, you know, quieter part of the song, and it just blasts back in, and it hooks you right back in, and it makes you wait for it to come back around again. It's awesome. It's just a really iconic sound in rock music, and yeah, I had to put it on the list. It was too good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when people think of the most famous saxophone riff of all time, they probably think of two songs. One of them being Careless Whisper, and the other one being this song. And what's amazing about this song is the saxophone riff, it's basically also the chorus of the song. Yeah. Like, there's no lyrics over it. It's like the saxophone just takes over as the front man of the band, so to speak. And we only hear the sax doing that riff. There's no other sax parts in the song. There's no, like, free-flowing solo in there. The rest of the song is, yeah, as you said, this, like, soft rock jam that Jerry Rafferty was known for. And it's a great song, and Jerry has a great voice, too. But the main attraction and the legacy of the song will always be Buana na 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 Buana na. It's the way it is, Roomba.
Yep. And so Ravenscroft went on, you know, he played with Marvin Gaye, he played with Robert Plant, Pink Floyd, who on their later albums I was noticing had a lot of saxophone, and then Roger Waters kept him on. And Waters is a guy for a lot of people on the list who brought saxophone players in all the time. Cause I was just noticing him. So he must've been touring with saxes throughout the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe Ravenscroft got paid 27.5 pounds for the session. And Jerry Rafferty, on the other hand, was said to have made 80,000 pounds a year from the song in royalties. So a little bit of a disparity there. And, before Ravenscroft died, they interviewed him about the song, and he said the thing he hated the most about it is the sax was out of tune. Which, you know, I don't know how many people could tell that, but if you're a musician, then I'm sure that would bug you too, Roomba. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, the beauty of rock and roll.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, so my next pick here, this is a band from San Francisco called Romeo Void. And they put out a song in, again, the 1980s, 1982 here. It's called Never Say Never.
I might like you better if we slept together.
So, yeah, just great saxophone work there, you know, alternating between the short punctuating bursts and just this, like, frantic playing there. But that bass line as well is also so good.
Yep.
And I read a description of it as, like, a throbbing bass line, which works because the song is about some, you know, unlikely nookie, shall we say. I might like you better if we slept together. But I wouldn't call it a steamy, sensual song. It's quite frantic. It's quite herky-jerky. The lead singer, Deborah Ayal, is kind of talk-singing throughout most of it. It's more like a quickie in the bathroom, I guess. Yes. You know, hoping you don't get caught. Yeah, but it's still...
Blasting sax is perfect for that.
Oh, yeah. For sure, yeah. But it's still a damn good song, Roomba.
Yeah, I really love this. I hadn't heard this before either, and I'm totally going to check this band out. This has all that manic energy. The female vocals are really awesome. Really love them. If you know, I probably talk about that enough in the Discord when we're chatting about music, but I love bands with this sound, that manic energy, those the female vocals, and yeah, I'm totally going to look into them. Really like this song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know they had another song that was a top 40 hit called A Girl in Trouble. But this is the song that I think of when I think of Romeo Void. Not that they had a lot of music to go around, because they were only around for like a handful of years. But yeah, this one's over 40 years old at this point, and I still dig it a lot. So yeah. All right, so what you got next there, Roomba?
All right, coming from Providence, Rhode Island, the beautiful Ocean State, the Downtown Boys with Dancing in the Dark, originally performed by Bruce Springsteen. This was released in 2015, and the players are Adrian Barry and Emmett Fitzgerald. Yeah, so growing up, I was not a Bruce fan, and I really haven't gotten into him as I got older. Reason being is Bruce fans were pretty rough on me and my group of friends growing up. We got in a lot of fights with those dudes, waiting in line for tickets, and just so I kind of always had a weird opinion of his music as a result. But when I listened to this song, and I obviously know the song from the radio, I had to, it's the first one that popped into my mind when we picked this category. They do an awesome job. The energy is incredible. The saxophone is true to the original. And, yeah, I just really love, like I was saying before, I love this, that kind of like manic energy, the strong vocals, and just how smooth the song is because of the saxophones.
Yeah, I'll just say, you know, thank God the melody for Dancing in the Dark is so recognizable, because the vocals are a tad hard to parse out. It was pretty fun. I kept saying, come again? Pardon me? What was that? But look, it's a punk rock band doing a faster, screamy, shouty punk version of the song. What do you expect, you know?
And this is also you know, the way secret tracks go, they're never secrets because they're on the end of the album. But yeah, this is a bonus track that they tacked on the end of the album after it was released originally.
Mm-hmm. And not to spoil anything, but I did bring some actual Springsteen later in the episode, which is not as fast, not as punk, and not as shouty as this song is. So, you know, we'll have both sides of that whole thing there.
And I have nothing but nice things to say, I promise.
Okay. Well, let's steer away from the punk a bit, shall we? My next pick here is from 1977, and it's a band called Supertramp. And this is one of their most well-known songs. It's off the album Even in the Quietest Moments. And this is Give a Little Bit.
I'll give a little bit. I'll give a little bit of my life for you. So give a little bit. I'll give a little bit of your time to me. See the
I'm a big Supertramp fan. They're one of many bands that someone of my age group should have not gotten into in high school and college if I wanted to be cool. But I still love them. And how can you not love this song? I mean, it's one of their most well-known, and it sounds so wonderful. The message of it, Roger Hodgson's voice is unmistakable. And of course, John Helliwell on saxophone there. And he was the dedicated saxophone player in the band. He wasn't just a hired gun. He was a full-time member who also played the clarinet as well. So yeah, I could have picked a bunch of Supertramp songs for this episode, but I went with this one there, Roomba.
Yeah, you know, for a long time, I didn't really have CDs and stuff growing up. When I first got my license or just riding around with my parents. And so in the 90s, growing up on the classic rock radio stations, it was the best of the 60s and the 70s. So got a bunch of this stuff. And these are the types of songs that really, you know, bring back good memories. Love driving around. Love listening to music. Love classic rock radio. Still to this day, I'll still throw on 100.7 when I'm driving around in the car. And yeah, this is one of those songs. And what's his name? Helliwell is another guy who was featured on a late Pink Floyd album, Momentary Lapse of Reason. And they spelled his name wrong in the liner notes, according to, I didn't go check the album, but because I don't own it. But that, according to legend, that's what it said.
Mm-hmm. Well, I read that Princess Diana was a big fan of this song. And when Roger Hodgson played the concert for Diana back in the day, this was the last song that he played. And it was just him on acoustic guitar, backing singers, and a guy on saxophone. And you can see everybody at Wembley Stadium just go nuts for the song, including Prince Harry and Prince William, which was, you know, it was pretty cool, Roomba.
Yeah, very cool.
But, all right, what's your next pick there, man?
Next pick is Long Song Coming by Bob Seger, recorded in 1974. Saxophone player Tom Cartmell, who's known by another name, but we'll talk about that after the song.
Later. A church bazaar, was smiling from her head to her feet, all the way down to the feet that she couldn't see.
So this song's off the album Seven. Came out in 1974. For some reason, there's three albums from the early 70s that Seeger has been reluctant to re-release, or had been reluctant to re-release. I think they came out on CD maybe at some point in the 90s, but only once. From what I read, he doesn't like the way his voice sounds. To me, it's the best stuff he ever did. Smokin' OPs came out in 1971. That's all covers. Back in 72 came out in 1972. And this came out in the album Seven came out in 1974. That's when he hooked up with Tom Cartmell, who goes professionally by the name Alto Reed, which, if you're going to be a saxophone player,
can't beat it.
Yeah, that's
best,
about
best
as good
stage
as it
name
can.
Ever for a sax guy. You can't beat it.
Yeah. And really, this is the kind of, I just really love this sound. I guess it's maybe, as I was saying when we were talking about the jazz stuff, and a lot of this was, a lot of the, our choices were born out of that. This feels like it was, harkens back to big band where you have your singer and you have that big brass sound coming blasting from behind them, and you have a nice, you know, the whole band's behind you and they're making a lot of noise. They're not overpowering the vocals, but they're just adding so much to the song. Yeah, he's best known for Turn the Page and Old Time Rock and Roll. But yeah, Alto Reed, as good as it gets.
Yeah, I like Bob Seger a bunch. This is a pretty good song too. I never heard it before. And, you know, the reason I never heard it before is because, yes, A, it's pre-Big Hits Seger era, pre-Night Moves, pre-Stranger in Town, Against the Wind, those big albums. And B, yeah, like you said, this album, Seven, is not, you know, available on streaming or in print, really. It's on YouTube, you know, but not officially. But, yeah, if you go on Spotify right now, there's a gap between Ramblin' Gamblin' Man in 69, which was his debut, and Beautiful Loser in 75. And there's six albums in between, you know? So there's like a whole lost chunk of his catalog that's just not, you know, readily available at Roomba.
Yeah, yeah. I don't get it. I guess now that hopefully they come out. I've been asking for copies of the CDs for years because I think they were, like I said, I think they were made once or the albums. For Christmas, and I've yet to receive them, so I assume they're expensive.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll bring this up too. Back in 2009, he put out a compilation album called Early Seeger Volume 1, and it's got a bunch of songs on it from those early albums, and he re-recorded this song on it with a new horn section and backing vocals, and I think it might be better than the original version. Cool. It's really, really good.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's really good. So, all right. So my next pick here, this is once again the 1980s. One of my favorite bands, favorite duos as well, Tears for Fears, off their 1985 album Songs from the Big Chair. This song is called The Working Hour. This day. So this is another case similar to Billy Idol where I didn't know about this song until I heard the album in full. because Songs from the Big Chair is it's a big album. You know, it's got Shout, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, Head Over Heels, big, big hits. But this is track two, and it's a deeper cut, and it's become one of my favorite songs on the album, in large part because of that saxophone. Because the song is them venting about being pressured by the record company for another single. You know, this is the working hour. We are paid by those who learn by our mistakes. And the sax just adds to that aggression and that emotion and gives it, I think, more of a haunting atmosphere as well. So, yeah, I've praised Tears for Fears on the show before. I love their work a lot. But if you only know the hits, I'd say check out their deeper cuts like this one as well, La Rumba.
Yeah, it's cool. The sax follows the vocals for a little while. It's like punctuating him as he's singing. Mm-hmm. And then it veers off and it comes back in and it comes back out. It's really cool use of the instrument. And it makes the song much better than I was expecting it to be at the time. Because it just really adds a ton. The guy, the saxophone player, again, played, of course, with the Rolling Stones, played with Pink Floyd. Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah, I believe there's two guys doing the saxophone parts on it. One of them is Mel Collins, who is in King Crimson and played with Camel and Alan Parsons Project. And the other is Will Gregory, from the duo Goldfrapp, who also worked with Peter Gabriel and Portishead and Tori Amos. So some real heavy hitters there for sure, Rumba.
Yeah, and I did also see that Jerry Marotta, I guess his name is, he arranged them. And he played with Peter Gabriel and Hall & Oates and Indigo Girls. So, you know, there was a really powerful group of guys who had experience with the saxophones there.
Definitely, definitely. All right, what's your next pick there, Rumba?
So coming in with my, I think my sixth pick now is Your Party by Ween from 2007. And the saxophone player is the David Sanborn.
Louder. My wife was competing in a game of chance. The party raged and the guests were screaming. I could have danced all night. We had the best time at your party. The wife and I, thank you very much. The best time at your party. The wife and I, thank you very much.
Yeah, this is number two, the second song I thought of. This came off their last album, La Cucaracha. Not a beloved band by Ween fans or non-Ween fans. I think it's great. I think it's really one of my favorites. It's one I come back to most often these days. And there's a great quote about this song, and it's from Dean Ween. Okay, let me start off by saying that we vowed to never, ever, ever have a horn on a Ween album. As teenagers, we always felt the yardstick to determine whether one of our favorite bands was starting to suck was when the new record would come out and it had horns. This applies only to rock and white people. But there's always been one provision to this rule, and that would be the only horn that we would have is if we could get David Sanborn to play some sexy saxophone on a Ween tune. We finally wrote a song worthy of him. He contacted his manager, and it turns out that he was a Ween fan, and he immediately agreed to do it. So that, in and of itself, means that we accomplished one of our lifelong goals as a band. Something I always say about Ween is that they remind me of the Beatles, and that they not only can change their lyrical style to get different things, different emotions across, they can change their musical style too. They're incredibly versatile. And I guess one of their challenges was to write a song that was good enough and worthy of David Sanborn, and they did it. And, you know, Sanborn has played with everybody. Flip a coin, and he's played with them.
Yeah, Rolling Stones, Eagles, Aretha Franklin, Bruce Springsteen, Carly Simon, Elton John, and so on and so on and so on. Quite the resume for sure.
Yeah.
I've never gotten into Ween. I've heard of them, of course, but I never got into their catalog. And from the outside, they seem quite eclectic, a bit experimental, a bit laissez-faire, do whatever the hell we want, cover all bases of music. And when I hear this song, part of me is amused that it's a song about a guy just being like, my wife and I went to a party, it had good food, we danced, had a good time, and then we went home.
Yeah.
And that's basically it. But yeah. Another part of me is like, this song just sounds so great. Like, the chill vibes, the saxophone, like, you know, any jokes aside, I really enjoyed it on, like, a sonic level. It's very pleasing to me, Roomba.
Yeah, yeah. They were really doing a great job on that album getting their messages across, and which is mostly just like you were saying, just making chill music and being Ween. There's only one. I'm glad. Well, they're on a bit of a break right now for reasons we don't need to talk about, but they'll be back. They got a big following.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost poetic in a strange way that this is the last track on the last Ween album.
Mm.
You know, like, hey, it was a party, and now it's over.
Yeah.
And, I know, like you said, they're dealing with some issues with Dean and his mental health problems. But never say never, you know, as Romeo Voigt said, never say never.
Yeah.
When it comes to this stuff. So we'll see. But all right, so my next pick here, we're going to get a little gothic here,
yeah.
A little dark wave. I brought up GTA 5 earlier. Well, I first heard this song in GTA 4. This is the Sisters of Mercy off of their 87 album Floodland. This is Dominion / Mother Russia.
In the meeting of a mind, down in the streets of shame, in the betting of names on gold to rust, in the land of a blind. Sunday,
so I'm not like a big Sisters of Mercy fan. I only like a few of their songs, but I really love this one. It just has that epic feel to it, not just in terms of the length, because it's like 7 minutes long or whatever, but also the topic. You know, it's about the Soviets and Chernobyl and how much the band hates America, basically. And there's all these elements to it as well. The drum machine beat, the bass line, the main melody is cool. The saxophone, which is done by Lenny Pickett, who has been on hundreds of albums and is also currently the band leader on SNL. And yeah, and the combined vocals of Andrew Eldritch and Patricia Morrison as well, which sound so theatrical. I mean, they're a gothic rock band, so theatrical is par for the course, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they're singing about, you know, Cold War themes, which I guess we don't need to tap the sign because that's over. I think it's history now. But I was reading that the second part of the song, the theme is that they want the United States to give Berlin back to this, or give Berlin over to the Soviets. So, but yeah, I really love the saxophone in this. It's blaring, which is kind of perfect for sort of a Cold War protest or war song. And yeah, really liked it.
Mm-hmm. And the music video is fascinating as well, because they filmed part of it on location in Petra, Jordan, which is a famous ancient city carved out of sandstone. And there's like Bedouins and horse riding. It's quite striking.
Yeah, I think it's is that the one that's in Indiana Jones' Last Crusade, I think, at the
end? I believe so. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
All right. What you got next there, Roomba?
Next, I have New York's All Right, If You Like Saxophones by Fear, recorded in 1982, and saxophone player is Durf Scratch. Yeah, so this song was famously featured on the 1981 Halloween episode of SNL, which resulted in Fear getting banned from the show forever. how they got there was Belushi saw them and loved them, invited them to do the soundtrack for Neighbors, and the studio denied that. So he convinced Lorne Michael to have Fear on to play on SNL, and he got him to agree somehow. Well, other people that were invited that night were Ian McKay from Minor Threat, Tesco V from the Meat Men, Harley Flanagan, and John Joseph from the Cro-Mags, and John Brannon from Negative Approach. They went on to smash all the Pumpkins and destroy the set, and they had to cut the feed early. This is one of the songs that they played, and I just really love it because of that screechy sound. Shows another voice that the saxophone can have. It's part of that LA New York rivalry. Although we're on the East Coast, I always side with Los Angeles when it comes to rock and roll music. I really think it's the best rock city that there's been. Especially I really like the punk that came out of there. So Durf, the guy who was playing sax, was the bass player for the band, and he wanted to concentrate more on that on guitar, so he stopped playing it, and he sold his bass to Mike Watt of the Minutemen, and that's the bass that Watt plays on one of their albums. Which album was it? Sorry, let me check here. What Makes a Man Start Fire. So yeah, it just It's an iconic television moment with the anniversary of SNL just passing. I can't imagine it made it onto any of the reunion shows, but it's one that I really love, and it's a cool video. You can find it if you look it up.
Yeah, if you ever wanted to hear a song where it sounds like someone is strangling a saxophone, this is the song for you. Yeah. Yeah, I know of Fear and the SNL thing, of course. I don't listen to them, and I don't really want to listen to them either. It's just not my thing.
Understood.
But I will say this. They do know how to get a point across. Because, they're not a big fan of New York City, and they will tell you why they don't like New York City. Drunks in your doorstep, getting pushed in front of a subway, freezing to death. Some of the lines have not really aged well.
Very poorly. Very poorly.
especially when he spits out, New York's all right if you're a homosexual. But also, it's 1982, so it kind of comes with the territory.
I've always assumed there was a little bit of humor in that, or maybe that's just wishful thinking on my part.
Who knows? But I'm also amused by the fact that Lee Ving, the front man, yes, is also an actor who's been in a bunch of stuff like Flashdance and Streets of Fire. He was Mr. Body in Clue. Like, you know, Mr. Crazy Punk guy was in Clue, for God's sake. Yeah. So with Tim Curry and Martin Mull and you know, all those, you know, great actors. So, yeah.
Every punk wants to be stuff, a cowboy though, or an actor at some point, it feels like.
Yeah, yeah. But all right. So my next pick here, this is a local lady. She's from Brookline, Massachusetts, and her name is Grace Kelly. Not the actress / Princess of Monaco. This is a jazz saxophone player / singer named Grace Kelly. And this is the title track from her 2014 album called Working for the Dreamers.
Another sentimental story. All the lights are falling in our eyes. Take them down and move us forward. Bring it to another day. I've been working for the dreamers. Only love get us by. I've been searching for
actually sort of tangentially know Grace Kelly because my dad interviewed her a bunch for his radio talk show back in the day, back when she was an actual teenager, because she is a legit child prodigy and has been putting out albums since I believe she was 12 years old. And she's played with all of these jazz greats and been on Colbert, and she was on the show Bosch, which I loved. And yeah, I like this song a lot, and it's beautiful, chill vibes. She's not just a great sax player, but also has a great voice too. And it's good to put a spotlight on a fellow Massachusetts native as well.
For sure, I really love this. This was when I saw it, when you sent the list over, I was I'm very interested because I thought it was Princess Grace Kelly, but no, it was not. When I put it on. And then I was looking into her, and I saw that she had played with Wynton Marsalis, who, growing up, my mother and my brother were jazz fans, and my brother played trumpet, and he would go see him speak occasionally. I remember them going to see him speak more than once and play, and so that was just that was something that, you know, instantly I'm impressed, and never mind all the other names that she's played with. She really sweet sound on the sax, and she's got an incredible voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I've been really getting into smooth jazz the past couple of years or so, just because it's great music to listen to while reading. I'm not like an expert or whatever. Like, the songs do tend to blend one into the other, especially the instrumentals. But, you know, it's just nice and relaxing music to listen to while I'm reading. You know, it's my kind of jazz. You know, not so much Miles Davis, more so like this type of jazz rumba.
Yeah, well, I could probably add some of that to my listening, given the last song that I played.
Yeah, nice contrast there for sure. Yeah, but speaking of contrasts, what you got next for us, Roomba?
Next song is "Water Get No Enemy" by Fela Kuti, 1975. Fela is credited with all saxophones on the album, but Christopher Wallifer is on tenor, Lakin Animashon is on baritone on this track.
If you want to go wash, now what are you going to use? To bafese be, oh milo malo. If you want to cook soup, now what are you going to use? To ribambo na oh milero re. If your head is hot, now what are you cooling? Tomo bandaba, oh milo malo. If your child they grow, water him go use. If water kill your child, now what are you go use?
Yeah, so I was reading a review of this song and someone called it intensely listenable, which is sort of how I feel about all of his music and Afrobeat in general, which is what, you know, the musical style that he founded. At some point over the pandemic, I kind of made a commitment to myself to stop listening to all the old music that I had sitting in my CD crate and to go find new stuff. The big world, all sorts of different sounds. And the one I think I fell in love with most was Afrobeat. And then, of course, that leads you directly to Fela. He's an incredible person. His story is really cool. This album that this comes off of is called Expensive Shit. And that's because he ran a commune. The government of Nigeria raided it. They found at some point they picked him up and he had a joint on him. He ate it. They took him in and they were waiting for him to pass it. but he somehow procured excrement from another person who was in the jail and he got out. That was the name of the album after that. I think the thing I didn't realize was that he was a saxophone player. I'd never seen video of the playing. Kind of just put it on, you know, hit play on Spotify and let the albums go through. I just assumed that he was sort of the lead singer and arranger and the head of the group. Really, really love this song. The saxophones, it's reminiscent of American funk and American, and like James Brown harkens back to that. I had to include him. Love the way the Afrobeat sounds and especially with the saxophones in this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Afrobeat isn't my wheelhouse, as they say. So I'd never heard of Fela Kuti before, but I like this one a lot. Like the energy of it, and I learned that, you know, he was a big activist against Nigeria's military dictatorship. So it's no surprise then that he has a song like this, which is about the importance of water as a resource and the essence of life, and it should be accessible and not be weaponized and that sort of gist. Mm-hmm. But it's funny, the song is 11 minutes long and the vocals don't come in until like 5 minutes in.
Yeah.
And I was sort of being lulled by the music, and all of a sudden it was like a jump scare. Like, whoa, who's that? Who's singing? What's going on here? So, yeah, I enjoyed this one for sure, Rimba.
Yeah. He's known as the president. He did so much. And, you know, it's just I have a couple songs coming up that I'll talk about this more with. But it's just a way – music can be a way to amplify a message and bring people together in a way that might feel impossible if there wasn't somebody – on a local scene, I guess a regional or continental scene who can kind of bring it all together and amplify it out and bring a lot of people together. And he's the first example of that. And I have one more later that I'm excited to talk about.
Mm-hmm. All right. So my next pick here, this is The Doors. And I went with a song from their 1969 album, The Soft Parade. It's at the very end of the song, from the last chorus to the end. This is Touch Me.
I'm gonna love you till the heavens stop the rain. I'm gonna love you till the stars fall from the sky. Oh, you and I.
Stronger than dirt. That's the slogan for Ajax, the cleaning brand. That's one of my favorite Door songs, actually. I love the whole vibe of it and that whole big buildup at the end there where it just gets, you know, building and building with the saxophone wailing in there. And this is a different side of the Doors. You know, up until now, they had done love songs, obviously, but done in that more psychedelic, bluesy kind of way that for the most part. Here, not only is there a saxophone done by Curtis Amy, who also worked with Carole King and Dizzy Gillespie and Lou Rawls, but there's a whole string and horn section in there as well. And this is Jim Morrison at his most, I think, traditionally charming pop self. You know, I'm gonna love you till the heavens stop the rain. He's not doing, you know, father, yes, son, I want to kill you. You know, there's none of that there. It's an excellent song, despite the fact that it doesn't really sound like, you know, the rest of their catalog, Rumba.
Yeah. And this is the type of saxophone I really love in rock and roll music. And I'd forgotten. I listen to The Doors about once a decade. And I think this is going to... It's going to cause me to do it. This is my once a decade is coming up because I really, really love this. I'd forgotten how great this song is. Like you said, it builds up at the end. It's just like, it's really chaotic. And that's something that the saxophone can bring. It can just bring this like screechy, waily, chaotic sound. And if the rest of the band is playing together and tight, it just, you know, layers over and just can make things feel unsettling. And that's what it does here. It's a great song. And, the playing is awesome.
Yeah, I was a big Doors guy back in the day. I got into them a lot in high school. There it is again. And I still like them. You know, I know people roll their eyes at them and Jim Morrison's antics or whatever, but they have a lot of great songs and they're an important part of rock history, for sure, Roomba. So
yeah.
Sue us, I guess, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you want from us? Come on now. But but all right, what is your second to last pick there, Roomba?
My second to last pick is by Herzenach, and the track is called L2. I'll explain later why I'm having a hard time pronouncing this. It's from 1984, and the player is Tito Aldama. So this song is from the Basque region of Spain. It came out in 1984. At that time, there was a movement in Basque country, a separatist movement, right? If you know, growing up in the 90s, I guess, and if you a little bit of history of Spain, there was big issues there. But at this time, these kids that lived there. Started a movement called Basque Radical Rock. They were influenced by British punk and ska, as you can hear in this track. The reason I had a hard time pronouncing it is because it's in Basque. The band originally spoke Spanish, but in an effort to create an identity in Basque country, a bunch of kids started a bunch of bands and started playing shows, started to learn Basque, started to switch from Spanish to Basque. And it got incredibly popular. It brought a bunch of ideas together into one place, and it helped centralize everything around the music and around the shows. And from there, the ideas exploded. It was definitely a more pacifist nature than some of the other separatist groups that were in Basque country at the time. But again, when this was another one of those groups that I found over the pandemic. I found out about this scene going on in the 80s over there. I'm just really interested in punk and how scenes and sounds can start in regional places and get people excited. I guess it's similar to wrestling, right? With regional wrestling and territorial mm-hmm. wrestling. And maybe that's what I love about the territories. And that's what I really like about punk is that like you can find a certain place in time and it has its own distinct sound and energy to it. And it's not about necessarily getting super famous outside of your region, but it's being a huge star in your region. And I really love that. And this is my favorite album from that whole scene. And this is the first track off of there. And I thought it exemplified the sound really well.
Yeah, I also had a hard time pronouncing what the hell this thing is called. Because it's spelled E-H space T-X-O. And I was like, Tixo? Like, what the hell? But in the song, I think it's Echo.
Yes.
So, which I think is like, hey, buddy, or hey, guy, I think is what it means. But yeah, I believe You are making history here, Roomba. This is the first time we've ever played Basque Radical Rock Band on the show. And maybe the only time. Who knows? Because it's a bit niche. But I liked it, you know, even though I had absolutely no idea what was being said. It was a fun song.
Yeah, I'm not a lyrics guy in English or any other language, so it works against me a lot of the times, but it also kind of opens up a lot of foreign language bands to me because it's like, well, I don't know. It sounds cool.
Yeah. Well, I used Google Translate, and it's basically, you know, a call to action of, you know, spurring someone on. You know, H.O., hey, buddy, come on. You got to hit the streets and march. Don't be complacent and things like that. So it just goes to show, you know, punk rock, that whole political sentiment there, is not restricted to the English language. It's pretty universal there, for sure, Roomba.
Yeah, it's, and I assume that it's groups like the Specials and stuff from England, and then the Clash and stuff like that that really inspired them. But I love Spain, especially that region. I've been there once, and I find it to be an interesting place. So, yep, love the song, love the group. And I was happy to include it. I don't love ska. Right. I'm sorry. I don't love ska though, but this is the exception. And I felt like I broke my own rule and I included a ska song.
It's okay. It's okay. We all have our exceptions that prove the rule, I guess you might say. So it's okay. All right. So my second to last pick here, this is the Mars Volta. And I went with a song off their 2008 album, The Bedlam in Goliath. And much like with The Doors, I picked a clip that's towards the end of the song. So let's play a song called Wax Simulacra. So I've played the Mars Volta on here before, and I make no bones about it. I like a decent amount of their stuff. I think this song rocks. I barely know what's going on with these guys. I mean, lyrically, I throw up my hands. Damn. You know, I bring an avalanche of Toltec bones, contaminated cravings, if you choose, to play something that aches for a spill. Leave out the meat for that contact high. Inhale the vapors. Let the hangman smile. For that something to shake by the roots. What the hell does that mean? I don't know. Musically, they throw everything into the blender. Prog rock, jazz rock, noise rock, experimental. I mean, this song sounds like just a tornado of noise.
Yes.
You can barely hear the saxophone in there until the very end, when it becomes like a screeching cat over just this thundering drum work. But you know what? I like it.
Yeah.
And you don't have to understand something to like it, as evidenced by the fact that this song won a Grammy Award. So
yeah.
There you go.
Anecdotally, I saw them open for System of a Down in Worcester. I can't remember what year it was. We were standing waiting for them to start. The kids that were there for Mars Volta were much younger, so they must have been high school kids. They had like eyeliner on, and I'm just chatting with the two guys next to me. The friend goes to me right as the music starts. He's on acid. The guy picks me up by the seat of my pants. He's a giant, and throws me like a dart through these high school kids. And I just wipe them out. And the music starts and it's very much what you're saying. It's chaotic. So yeah, I have they're not my favorite band, but I have a very special memory of them, and had a blast at the show.
Yeah, they can get pretty wild. I brought up last episode about Janelle Monáe's performance of Dance Apocalyptic on Letterman. Mars Volta did this song on Letterman too, and it is just nuts. Like, yeah. Everybody is just playing their faces off. The drummer Thomas Pridgen is going just crazy. Yeah,
Dave definitely
kit.
Checked in with the drummer after that one, I bet.
Oh yeah. A nice kit there. Great stuff. Yeah. It's a wild performance for sure. So, but all right. So, what is your last pick there, Roomba?
All right, I got to end on the highest note. P-Funk Wants to Get Funked Up, 1975 by Parliament.
The desired effect is what you get when you improve your interplanetary functionship. Sir Lollipop Man, chocolate coated freak in habit form. Doing it to you in 3D, so groovy that I dig me. Once upon a time called now. Somebody say, is there funk after death? I say, it's 7-Up. Yeah. P-Funk. Uncut funk.
Step on my funk. Yeah, this is just the most fun music that there is. Parliament is incredible band. Trying to figure out, I didn't mention who the player was because I had a hard time determining who it was. I did eventually, I think. I had to go to the again to the funk boards. There was a fight about who it was. Some people were saying it was Michael Brecker or the Brecker brothers. Some guy comes barreling in saying it was Chaka Khan's brother, Daryl Dixon, John Farrell. I think what was determined from a, let me see, Jazz Times article from 2024, that it was Maceo who plays the main part of this song. And the quote is, after a brief return with James Brown, Parker again abandoned him in 1975, this time to work with George Clinton's Parliament, the most famous funk group to innovate the new identity from the foundations that Brown had laid. On the waggish psychedelic masterpiece, Parker's role is in support, but the value of his punch-out comping shouldn't be overlooked. A brief interstitial solo about halfway through, P-Funk Wants to Get Funked Up makes that point succinctly. And I think that's really sort of how I feel about the saxophone after all this. It can be brief and it can be an interstitial in the song, but it helps drive home the point of the song. And it's hard to imagine funk music without great saxophone.
Yeah, George Clinton is, as the kids say, extra.
Mm.
Because he doesn't just come up with this great funk music. He comes up with an entire mythology and all these characters and new verbiage and we're from outer space and all this stuff. And much like with Earth, Wind, and Fire and their, you know, iconography and ancient Egypt stuff, I don't really care about that. I just like the music.
Mm.
And it's hard not to move and groove when the music is, you know, this funky there, Roomba.
There's a great line in this song, and I don't know if this is meant to be a shot or if it's just kind of swinging their thing to just show who's the best. But it says, we heard some other funk with some ingredients like the Doobie Brothers, Blue Magic, David Bowie. It was cool, but can you imagine Doobie in your funk? who? And it's just perfect. It's just, it's like they're establishing themselves as the coolest and best and really the only guys that should be doing funk, at least out of those three.
Yeah, it's a diss track in that sense, for sure. Yeah. It's one of the stranger ones, I think, because just of the whole vibe of the whole thing. But it's still really good, for sure. And that whole album, too, Mothership Connection, is itself, you know, pretty iconic in the world of funk music. All right, so my last pick here. I teased him earlier, and it's time to bring on the boss, Bruce Springsteen. With the big man, Clarence Clemons on saxophone, rest in peace. And this is Clarence's most famous and acclaimed sax solo off of Born to Run. This is Jungle Land. Fade out, but he's still going. It's a long solo there. Yeah, similar to Dominion, this is an epic. It's 9.5 minutes. This is a New Jersey epic that only Springsteen can do, about gangs and alleyways and rock and roll and tragic heroes and lovers, things of that nature. And it's an amazing song in totality. You know, I'm not the biggest Bruce fan in the world, but the man can make some damn good music, that's for sure. And what really puts it over the top is that saxophone solo. You know, it's the emotional cherry on top. And apparently it took like 16 hours to get it done, which is insane. They were just recording and re-recording over and over again to get it right. But, you know, there was a method to the madness. And it turned out pretty well, I'd say, Roomba.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's why you you only put one track down on the album, because I mentioned my feelings towards Bruce earlier, but holy shit, this song is great, and I had never heard it before. The only Bruce I've ever listened to is when a cousin bullied me into listening to, I forget what the album is, it's a double album, and I found that there was two types of songs. There's Bruce, the band leader, and then Bruce, the lead singer, backed up by the band. And when he is leading the band and they're all playing together, I get it. I totally understand why everybody loves him. The other stuff I'm not as much into, but yeah, this song's incredible. And the saxophone is as good as it gets for rock and roll. It's going back to that Seeger track I played earlier, no offense to Bob, but this blows it out of the water. It's just great stuff.
Mm-hmm. And after Clarence Clemons died, they took the song out of the set list for a good chunk of the next tour, the Wrecking Ball tour. And then they finally brought it back with Jake Clemons, his nephew, who, you know, took over his role in the band, and he did the solo. And it was like this big emotional moment, emotional release. And afterwards, he and Bruce and I believe Roy Bittan all hugged on stage. So, just a really nice moment there, you know, in the wake of that sad death of Clarence Clemons, for sure.
Yeah.
But But all right, well, that was
hold
the
on.
Episode.
Well, for my last song, I'd like to play the Val Venus theme by Jim Jones.
Roomba. You jokester, you. You
nope,
scamp.
That's it.
You scamp, you scamp. Yeah, that was the episode. Those were our songs. And you know, Roomba, I was expecting an eclectic list of songs from you, and you did not disappoint me, man. We were all over the place here, and it was fantastic and a lot of fun, and I'm glad you came on for sure.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. I really appreciate it. I was surprised when I got the invite, but I'm really happy, really had a lot of fun putting it together, listening to the songs, and thinking about the saxophone.
Definitely, definitely. Any plugs you want to give? Go right ahead.
No plugs. I don't do anything. I guess if you don't have a library card, get one. That's it.
Okay, an important message for sure. Yeah. Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network for all the shows on there. VoicesOfWrestling.com for previews, reviews, articles, things like that. Blue Sky at Music of the Mat at Just Andrew on Blue Sky. If you want to leave a comment about this episode, share your picks. VoicesOfWrestling.com/Discord. I'm in there. Roomba's in there. It's also where I post the Spotify playlist for each episode. And of course, make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice, and leave a nice rating and review. All right, so the playout song here for today. You know what? Let's go out with Careless Whisper, huh? Why not? Come on. Let's have a three-peat of George Michael on the show here. Who gives a turkey? Yeah. This is Careless Whisper by George Michael and Wham. Thanks again, Roomba.
Anytime.
Time can never mend the careless whispers of a good friend to the heart and mind. Ignorance is kind. There's no comfort in the truth.
Music of the Mat is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The songs used throughout this show are property of their respective copyright holders.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy. Every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.